Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Hey, I got something for you early risers, you folks out there that enjoy these early mornings, especially here in Montana. It's a little verse from Psalms 5. It says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." Which I just love, because here it is, 6 a.m. I've been up since 4. I don't know about you folks out there. Hey, by the way, we are going to have a fantastic guest here at 7 a.m. We're going to have Senator Barry Usher in the house, in studio. And so, folks, open phones until then, and then we'll have open phones after that as well. And I'm sure Senator Usher will be down to take some questions and calls. But if you want to send in a message now, or give me a call now, and tell me, what do you think I ought to ask Senator Usher when he comes in here at this, during the 7 o'clock hour? Send me a message on the Montana Talks app. 406-294-0970 is the phone number. 406-294-0970 is the phone number. I wanted to go through a couple of stories here. One is that Northwestern Energy is putting up a bunch of wildfire detection cameras all across Montana. The company has installed 20 of these cameras over the past year. These cameras use AI tech to check for causes of fires by assessing dust, haze, smoke, and other components. What I found so interesting about this story is I think it's great. You know, and then it kind of reminds me of, like, okay, also you could have satellite technology and satellites that are open for detecting forest fires. You can have AI cameras up on the passes, up on lookouts. You know, we're not in a situation necessarily anymore where you have to send somebody out to one of these, you know, fire lookout towers out in the middle of the wilderness. It's like we have satellites, we have AI cameras. But what I found so interesting about it is you know, the way that the Democrats and the left want us to think about these wildfires and the risk of wildfires is that there's nothing we can do about it except get rid of SUVs and get rid of fossil fuels and get rid of vehicles and get rid of AC units and get rid of your natural gas stove in your house that you like. Get rid of your natural gas water heater. That's their solution. That's the entire... So I just think of this, like, okay, we've got AI cameras now. Isn't it a little bit... Shouldn't we, like, celebrate that and focus on that and satellite technology and things like Governor Gene Forte is doing with forest management issues and things that President Trump is doing with forest management issues? All of those things can have a lot better impact and a lot more of immediate impact and do a lot more better things for the state and our country than trying to ban fossil fuels. And so I just wanted to share that little story, and that's my take on it. Since we're here during the 6 o'clock hour, I usually try to get to sort of more billing specific stories, even though we are on the air, of course, all across numerous cities here in Montana. And if you're in one of those cities, you know, please call in, give me what's going on here. Of course, the Bozeman story continues to get media attention. The Bozeman City Commission and the radicals in Bozeman continuing to push for the LGBTQ flag to be their official flag, which we already know that that's their official religion. It's just not their official flag yet. In Yellowstone County, we're looking for long-term solutions for our jam-packed jail.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies with high temperatures climbing up into the upper 80s for Bozeman, but expecting some hotter low 90s for Billings. Then for tonight, a chance for some scattered showers and thundershowers with lows dropping back into the lower 50s for Bozeman, near 60 for Billings, and we'll see gradually clearing skies on Friday. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Securing America.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu continued his visit to Washington Wednesday with a stop at the Pentagon and a meeting with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Both reflected on the recent U.S. strike on Iran's nuclear facilities after several days of Israeli strikes in Iran. Secretary Hegseth.
President Trump was very clear. After 60 days, he gave them every opportunity, and then Operation Rising Line took place, and the skill of your professionals, what was accomplished was absolutely incredible.
The secretary adding,
those B-2 pilots sent a message to the world as well.
An assessment the prime minister agreed with.
I think the entire world took note. I think Iran took note. I think everybody in the Middle East took note of American resolve and of the strength of our alliance.
He added that the action was like the roar of two lions being heard around the world. Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so while the Bozeman residents packed the commission room to weigh in on the radical attempt to make the LGBTQ agenda flag the official Bozeman flag, here in Yellowstone County, we're doing something a little different. I just think this is such a little contrast. And so when folks, you know, because I grew up over in the Gallatin Valley, you know, I grew up 15 miles, 20 miles from Bozeman. Now I live in Billings. And so I love the little debate about, you know, Billings compared to Bozeman and all these other little debates we love to have here in Montana. But here, you know, I think this one kind of shows it all. I've got a story here in front of me that says Bozeman residents packed the commission room to weigh in on Rainbow Pride Flag by Nora Shelley from the Bozeman Chronicle. In a practice round for next week's meeting, dozens of people packed the city commission room this week, Tuesday night, to comment on whether the Pride Flag should fly above the Bozeman City Hall. And then meanwhile, in Yellowstone County officials are considering asking taxpayers to make a multi-million-dollar investment in the jail. We've got a new report in the overcrowding at the Yellowstone County Detention Center. We've got capacity here in Yellowstone County for 434 inmates, but we've got over 630 in there. So you've got over 200 inmates over capacity here in the Yellowstone County Jail, according to the story by Amy Nile online. The report included 10 options ranging from $48 million to almost $500 million. They were looking at a $225 million investment, adding 500 new beds and building out support for future expansion. So I just thought that's great. So first of all, this is something that, heck, we've been talking about this on Montana Talks forever, it feels like. I remember years and years and years ago, I was guest hosting, and I got a call from somebody here in Yellowstone County who told me and told all of us the story about how they had private property and they had a trespasser, and they called the police, and the police basically said, we can come out and sort of get them off your property, but no, we're not going to arrest them, and no, they're not going to get prosecuted. We don't have room in the jail for that type of a thing. And so it's like, okay, so you can't get arrested for trespassing, basically. That was the message from the caller, is that, okay, if the jail is so full that our officers can't arrest people. And so then I think the city sort of then was moving forward with this sort of temporary jail expansions just to give back the power of arrest to the officers, because if the criminals start to find out, like, no, the jail's full, like, they won't arrest you unless you, like, do something truly horrific. That's not good. That is really, really not good. So I'm happy to see the Yellowstone County commissioners and Billings, I think, working together on trying to expand the jail space here, because it's obviously been a major problem for a long time. And, again, that's one thing that it's, look, that's an actual job of the city government and the county government and the state government. I was talking about this a lot yesterday. These Democrats, leftists will come out and make these points about Republicans. And, oh, if you're such a small government conservative, you should move to Somalia. You'd love it in Somalia. It's just so silly and stupid. It's like, look, being small government doesn't mean that you think there should be no government, that you think there should be no laws, that you think there should be no regulations. It's like, no, actually being a conservative small government Republican means that you actually do support the government when it does things that are within its purview. For example, the federal government doing military, the federal government controlling immigration, the federal government coining money. Okay, the state government doing various things, the city and the county government having jails and law enforcement and the rule of law. That's a critical core function of government. That is something we should be spending our money on. Now, should the city and the county be spending their money on all sorts of other stuff? DEI projects, free vehicles and parking for employees, no, not necessarily. And when they put out a bond for $140 million for a new ice rink or a sports complex, you know, we're almost all probably going to vote against it because, number one, that's not a function of the city or the county government. Building and funding and frankly, right before we had that vote here in Yellowstone County about that $140 million, the crazy thing is, so that failed, and now you've got Signal Peak Energy in the process of building a new ice rink here in Billings with private donation dollars where we don't have to have our property taxes raised. It's just crazy. And so anyway, right before that vote happened, the Wall Street Journal had put out this huge piece on a major sort of study it had done on all of these sort of municipal funded, municipal financed sports complexes, entertainment complexes. Weird different. And what it basically found was, number one, they never pencil out financially. Number two, most of the times, like the management contracts for those types of things, we're going to, you know, the city council member's brother's company, you know, stuff like that. It was very, very common. And so why should the taxpayers fund and finance something crazy like a new ice rink, especially when you've got coal mines around here like Signal Peak Energy that's willing to fund it itself using private dollars? So that's my take on that story. That's my take on the dichotomy here between Bozeman and Billings and Yellowstone County and the difference between what is going on. Big news this morning, of course, is 6 Secret Service agents have been suspended due to their actions during the Trump assassination attempt in Butler. We've got some news, foreign policy news, a bunch of other woke. Frankly, I got a bunch of woke up updates. It is Thursday, folks, so Even though it's not a normal Thursday, we're going to do a woke update. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. We'll be right back.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. You've probably heard the term Votorama a lot in recent days as the Senate wrestled with the big, beautiful bill. Well, here's a breakdown. It's Senate speak for a marathon voting series. That's where senators take vote after vote after vote on a series of amendments. The Votapalooza sometimes runs 10 to 15 hours. There's only 30 seconds to a minute of debate between all roll call votes. A Votorama only happens when the Senate is dealing with the budget or budget reconciliation. That's the special process the Senate uses to avoid a filibuster when it deals with fiscal or tax matters. 60 votes are necessary to clear a filibuster, but the Senate just needs a simple majority to pass a budget-related item under reconciliation, and there's no procedural vote to break a filibuster, unlike conventional Senate operations. There's limited debate under the budget, only 20 hours, but amendments are unlimited. That's why there's so many votes, and that's why the enterprise consumes so much time. Votoramas aren't even an annual thing, but the Senate has already done 3 this year, and more might be in the offing. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Montana Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into this show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument, the rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Summer. Morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, on Wednesday, Mexico reported a new case of New World screwworm in Veracruz, approximately 160 miles northward of the current sterile fly dispersal grid on the eastern side of the country, and now 370 miles south of the U.S. and Mexico border. This new northward detection comes approximately 2 months after northern detections were reported less than 700 miles away from the U.S. border, which triggered the closure of U.S. ports to Mexican cattle, bison, and horses on May 11th. Well, USDA just announced a risk-based phased port reopening strategy, which began this past Monday. This newly reported New World screwworm case raises significant concern about the previously reported information shared by Mexican officials and severely compromises the outline port reopening schedule. Therefore, in order to protect U.S. livestock and our nation's food supply, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins last night ordered the closure of livestock trade through southern ports of entry effective immediately. Now, you can read more about this latest border closure and the latest northward movement of New World screwworm in Mexico by visiting us online at westernagnetwork.com or checking out our social media channels. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Take a deep breath in. Ground yourself in this moment. What do you hear? That's the sound of the juicy steak being cooked to perfection that provides 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, and B vitamins to support your well-being. Delicious and nutritious. You really can have it all. Check out beefitswhatsfordinner.com for recipes. Funded by Beef Farmers and Ranchers.
Cattle producers, Western Video Market's big summer sale is July 14th through the 16th from the Silver Legacy Casino Resort in Reno, Nevada. 3 big days filled with high-quality cattle from some of the very best ranches in America. It's a great time to be in the cattle business, and Western Video Market's mission has always been to provide its customers and buyers with innovative marketing opportunities. For more information and to watch the sale live, visit WVMCattle.com. Well, another Molson Coors High Country barley harvest is just around the corner in Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. And during a grower appreciation event last night in Power, Montana, Molson Coors Barley Program Senior Manager Wade Malchow gave me an update on how this year's barley crop looks.
You know, it's been an interesting year, Russell. We started out early, which really did help the stand establishment of these fields and in all these regions. I'd say Idaho is going to have an average crop. Wyoming is a bit of a standout area for us this year. Southern Montana had a great crop, and although they've really battled some hail through that Yellowstone County area, there's still a lot of good barley there. Up here in northern Montana, we've had some drought, and we're working our way through that. I think this barley can make it if it gets one more shot of rain on the dry land, and the irrigated looks great. Colorado is doing especially well. Water's a little short down there, so you always got to pay attention to that, but the crop development is outstanding at this point.
Now, Bill Coors once coined the phrase, barley is to beer as grapes are to wine, and that still very much holds true today for everyone along the entire Molson Coors supply chain. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
My goodness, I'm sitting here checking out Politico Playbook that just came out this morning, and the White House is pushing to claw back $9.4 billion in congressionally approved funding in a rescissions package. But guess what, folks? Guess what? Senate Republicans are putting roadblocks in the way of Trump's rescission package. Politico reports that there's broad pushback inside the Senate GOP conference against cutting public media, which is NPR and PBS, which is left-wing propaganda funded by my money and your money. Your money and my money goes to D.C., they, you know, they siphon off a little bit there in D.C. for corrupt acts, and then they send it out to NPR, which then uses it to push Democrat talking points against the wishes of the American people, against the will and against the beliefs of the American people. Why? How is there broad pushback in the Senate GOP conference to that? They're worried. I guess you'd have to assume that these Senate GOPers are worried that they might have difficulties getting reelected if they cut funding to NPR and PBS. Does that make any sense? I certainly hope Senator Daines and Senator Sheehy are not within this broad coalition of Senate Republicans who are opposed to this rescissions package, and I doubt they're a part of that. But the other thing is also opposed to cutting global health funds, you know, whatever the heck that means. That's probably just a slush fund, for Democrat cronies. The only there's some good news here, which coming out of the FBI and the Trump administration going after, you know, John Brennan and James Comey. Fox News reports that former CIA director John Brennan, former FBI director James Comey are under criminal investigation for wrongdoing under the Trump-Russia probe. Good. This is good news. It's crazy to me that all of the good news is really coming straight from the White House and the executive branch in D.C., and all the bad news is coming from the Senate GOP conference. It's like, what is going on with that? I mean, it's a nice change of pace to be getting good news out of the White House. I'm certainly looking forward to James Comey and Brennan. Would love to see him actually get prosecuted or do a plea deal or anything like that, but that is good news. I'm going to try to just rush through a couple of these stories that I had from yesterday that I didn't quite have a chance to get to. Here's one. Breitbart reports that the San Antonio City Council candidate actually called for shooting of ICE agents. You know, the Democrats, these radical Democrats, sometimes like just a random city councilman from some random city will say something, and it just totally exposes the entire Democrat Party. DHS reported that a San Antonio City Council candidate called for the shooting of ICE agents on the streets of L.A. Now, that's just one person that's actually called for it. But how many Democrats out there would agree with that? That's the real question. I don't even think it needs to be said, but of course, this person that called for the killing of ICE agents is a Democrat. DHS Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin posted that the San Antonio City Council candidate called for the killing of ICE agents in L.A. Quote, "I want to see a few dead ICE agents in L.A. Don't let me down." The DHS Assistant Secretary called the threat depraved. Absolutely disgusting. And literally, the ICE agents are literally just good American people that are public servants, civil servants, serving in a federal law enforcement capacity, which is in a capacity and in a position and in an issue that is strictly for the federal government under Article 1, Section 8 to enforce immigration laws. This is an actually good thing to have ICE. I can't wait to see ICE get massive, massive new funding. I can't wait to see some of these Democrats like that are calling for the killing of ICE agents to get arrested and prosecuted. I can't wait to see some of these Democrats who try to interfere with ICE enforcement and mass deportations to get arrested and prosecuted for obstruction of justice. By the way, I think I saw, okay, remember that judge, state district court judge, I think in Wisconsin or something like that, that got arrested for basically trying to help out an illegal alien escape ICE. I saw a story, I think, recently that basically said a court has refused to dismiss that criminal case against that judge for, I believe, obstructing justice. So I'll try to find that and give an update on that after the break. But that would be another bit of good news. KBZK out of Bozeman had a story I wanted to touch on. There's a study out there that says ChatGPT may be harming our brains. Teachers say banning it isn't the answer. So this says use of ChatGPT amongst high schoolers is becoming ubiquitous, becoming integrated into classrooms. Some students are making poor choices. A recent study from MIT suggests frequent use of LLMs like ChatGPT could be linked to measurable cognitive decline. So here's what I sort of think about this. To me, it's almost like using Google Maps too much. And especially if you move to a new city, if you move to a new city or are just driving around in a city that you haven't been to, and you use Google Maps to get around, you will not learn the city. You will not learn how to get around. I've experienced that. I've moved to Miami, lived in Miami for a bit, moved to Wichita for a bit, moved to Billings. I've lived here in Billings for quite a while. Of course, growing up in Manhattan, Montana, you don't need Google Maps to get around Manhattan. But I think ChatGPT, Google Maps, all these things, it's like, yeah, if you end up relying on them too much, if you end up basically just doing nothing without them, never sort of thinking, yeah, it can be a bad. But I will say this, using ChatGPT can also be very, very effective. One thing I've used it for is having it create workouts, having it answer questions, how to fix things. It's great. We'll be right back. David Noble and Farron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Here's your host, David Noble, Noble with a K. I'm a lawyer here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. We're taking phone calls, folks, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. You can send us a message on the Montana Talks app as well. You know what was really disgusting is these Democrats are still continuing to push this narrative that somehow the Texas floods are the fault of Trump. Daily Caller's got a story. Democrats' anti-Trump flood narrative quickly debunked by meteorologist by Robert McGreevy. The left's anti-Trump narrative about the floods in Texas clashed with assertions from multiple meteorologists who claimed the National Weather Service did exactly what it was supposed to do. ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos, which is just one of the absolute worst. By the way, the guy like never works. As you guys may know, I do a Sunday show review a lot of times on my Twitch stream on Sunday afternoon, sort of after the Sunday morning shows get posted. It's brutal. A lot of times I can't do it. I cannot get through, Meet the Press or, ABC Sunday Morning with George Stephanopoulos or, Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan. All of these just garbage shows. Truly cannot get through them sometimes. Now, if it's a Sunday and then they got J.D. Vance on as their interview guest. They got Donald Trump on. They got Cruz on. They've got somebody like that on, then yeah, I can get through that. And then my favorite thing is after they have their guests on, they all kind of have the same format for their Sunday shows. It's have a couple of guests and then they go into their panel discussion. My favorite thing to do is when they're introducing the panel, and of course they start with, the host. And then they say the host's name, and I say Democrat. And then they say, and then this person with this publication, Democrat. And then this person with that publication, Democrat. And then this political consultant for the Democrats, Democrat. And then they'll inevitably have on some, like, rhino guy who pretends to be, like, their one conservative or their Republican sort of person on their panel. But he's inevitably, or he or she's inevitably, totally anti-Trump, totally never Trumper, not a conservative in any way, shape, or form. And it's just the same thing. It's just the same thing every single Sunday. But George Stephanopoulos, one of the worst, almost never there on Sunday. I swear every Sunday there's somebody guest hosting his little Sunday show filling in. But he said that there were significant staffing shortfalls to the National Weather Service's offices in the region. But that was grotesque misinformation, according to a weatherman with a PhD in meteorology from Florida State. He says National Weather Service in Texas had extra staff on duty and did their jobs admirably as always. These Democrats have no shame. It was the same thing with the bombing of Iran. These Democrats will literally attack and demean and degrade and disrespect our service members in the military, our meteorologists at the National Weather Service. These Democrats don't care about any. Imagine how horrible that is. Imagine you're an employee of the National Weather Service down in Texas, and let's say you were staffing, you know, the offices around the time of that flood. And imagine that you did the best you could, that it was sort of this freak incident. It was a big surprise meteorologically, but you did everything you could, but you sort of still feel bad. And then imagine having the Democrats and the media come out and blame people's deaths in a natural disaster on the National Weather Service. And, oh, they should have done this, or they should have had more people there. And that's just horrible. There's the lack of compassion from the Democrats. Or imagine you were one of the pilots or people that were a part of the attack on Iran. And then you've got the Democrats in the media saying, you didn't do a very good job. You're not really that professional. This wasn't that successful. I mean, it's really horrible. These Democrats will stop at nothing to make one partisan point. It really is unbelievable. You've still got the Chicago mayor vowing that the city police will not ever cooperate with ICE. I just don't understand this. This is a Fox News story. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson vowed that his city will never cooperate with ICE. And it's like, dude, your people in Chicago are desperate for you to cooperate with ICE. What are you doing? What are you talking about? This mass illegal immigration that was allowed under the Democrats and, frankly, has been going on for many, many decades in this country and just sort of, you know, went parabolic under Biden, that's harming the people of Chicago. What is the Chicago mayor talking about? He says, you know, again, it's unconscionable at a time in which so many working people and poor people need government to show up for them that this administration, the Trump administration, has caused so much consternation and division. What? Yeah, bro, we do need people, or we do need the government to show up for people. And guess what? When ICE shows up to do mass deportations of illegal aliens, that is the government showing up for the American people. And especially working people and poor people. Is this guy a complete idiot? It's literally the poor, it's literally the working people and poor people, and I'm using his, that's what the Chicago mayor calls them, working people and poor people. It's literally working people and poor people that are harmed the most by illegal immigration, especially because most of this illegal immigration is illiterate and unskilled and uneducated people from the third world. Those people drive down wages. They drive up the cost of housing. They're not impacting the wages for lawyers and doctors. I don't believe. I don't think the illegal aliens from Honduras are impacting lawyers' wages. But they are impacting low-income people's wages. They are impacting wages for low-skilled jobs. It's like, what is up with these Democrats and these mayors of these cities like Chicago? Like, there could be nothing better than the working people of Chicago than to have ICE show up and do mass deportations of all the illegal aliens that are there driving down wages and driving up the cost of housing. Which, by the way, the New York Times actually was just recently even admitted that mass illegal immigration or any illegal immigration drives down wages and drives up the cost of housing. You don't have to have enough classes to have an economics minor like I do to understand that you bring in, you know, millions and millions of illegal aliens from the third world, that's going to have an impact on low-skilled job wages, and it's also going to have an impact on housing. It's also apparently going to have a huge impact on traffic in L.A. I keep seeing all of this stuff about ever since ICE started showing up. This is really wild because Stephen Miller from the White House has also been posting this stuff and commenting on it. But this is insane that when you look at the traffic levels and the wait times at hospitals in L.A., apparently the highways in L.A. have gone from being packed all the time to like virtually empty. And now the American people that live in L.A. can actually drive around without being stuck in traffic for hours and hours and hours. And the hospitals have 30% fewer people showing up, 30% fewer people in the lines, almost a third of the people using hospitals in LA are now gone. And everybody's sort of chalking both of those things up to the illegal aliens sort of going into hiding or not wanting to come out into public, not wanting to go to the hospital, not wanting to drive on the roads. And of course, if I was an illegal alien, I wouldn't want to be driving on the roads or going to hospitals either because you get pulled over. Well, I guess in L.A., if you get pulled over, you're not going to end up in being turned over to ICE because they don't cooperate with ICE. But I'm sure they're just concerned that they could still get caught and certainly maybe showing up at the hospital. But the point is that if that's really the deal, I mean, and of course that the 30% of people that are no longer showing up at hospitals that everybody sort of is attributing as illegal aliens, if that's actually true, that means, and of course they don't pay, right? They don't have insurance. The hospital, this is the most insane thing to me. The hospitals are required to provide treatment for them, even though knowing they're illegal aliens, knowing they don't have insurance, knowing they're not going to be able to pay. Now, I don't know. One thing I don't know is sort of how far that requirement goes under federal and state law in terms of how much care do these hospitals have to continue to provide to illegal aliens when they don't pay. So what Stephen Miller, obviously, Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy at the White House, he's been tweeting out talking about how, look, like we start doing federal immigration enforcement in L.A. and all of a sudden the highways are don't have traffic problems. You keep seeing all these posts of L.A. traffic and it's all green, right? All the roads are green. Used to be they were always red. And Stephen Miller also has been pointing out, look, 30%, almost a third of our costs at our hospitals are just to pay for these freeloader illegal aliens. Because if you enforce immigration laws and all of a sudden the hospital has 30% less people showing up, and the hospital before that was having tons and tons of illegal alien patients that don't pay their bills, kind of shows you some of the positive impacts of mass deportations.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I do believe there has to be a new Israeli doctrine at the end of all of this, that anybody that fires a single rocket into Israel, their new policy will be to obliterate them immediately. They have shown too much concern. I don't think that can be their policy any longer. They have got to immediately respond. And respond overwhelming with devastating force, or this pattern will just continue to play out. But for those that didn't see the wisdom in taking out the number one state sponsor of terrorist nuclear facilities, the entire world, not just the region, would be at risk, including the United States, because their missile capability keeps getting stronger and stronger.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, I've been buying precious metals. Somebody gave me great advice. I'm so grateful every day that I did, and I've been doing it for decades. Every paycheck I get, no matter what, I put aside a portion of money to diversify to precious metals. Now, especially during certain times, remember the 2008 financial crisis, who choose to make my gold and silver purchases? What company do I now use? Who do I trust? Well, I've been partnering with a great company for 3 years. I am a customer. The company's called Gold Co. Gold Co. will send you right now a free 2025 gold and silver kit to learn more about diversifying with precious metals. Now, this kit from Gold Co. has been a huge help to me. I think you'll learn a valuable lesson. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. Now, you're not going to want to miss out. All you have to do is call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD. Just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-GOLD. Or go to the website, HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies with high temperatures climbing up into the upper 80s for Bozeman, but expecting some hotter low 90s for Billings. Then for tonight, a chance for some scattered showers and thundershowers with lows dropping back into the lower 50s for Bozeman, near 60 for Billings, and we'll see gradually clearing skies on Friday. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up on your dashboard. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We got Senator Barry Usher here in the house. Senator Usher, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, you bet. I'm glad to get you on here for this last segment before the start of the 7 o'clock hour. Folks, we are taking phone calls as well, 406-294-0970. So, Senator Usher, I got a Montana Free Press story here in front of me that's got your picture on it, and it says Republican senators demand a revote for the party leadership. I'm curious kind of what happened there and what's your take on kind of what's going on.
Well, I was one that did the motion to not accept a credentialing report or accept it with the nine, the nasty nine, being taken off of the credentialing. And the reason why I did that motion was not for to change the rules or not to do anything else, as the papers have said, but really because in March of this year, the Montana GOP sent a letter to the nine censuring them. And in that letter, it also said that we do not recognize you as Republicans. And one of the two criteria is to be sitting at the convention and voting is that you are a Republican. And if the Montana GOP said they do not recognize them as Republicans, then they do not qualify to sit. And I believe the credentialing committee should have pointed that out and taken care of that in their committee, but they did not.
Right. If the bylaws say, you know, if you're a Republican senator, then you get to vote at this convention. Your point is, well, these guys aren't Republican senators.
Well, that's my point, but I'm reiterating what the letter from the Montana GOP to the nine senators from March said, we do not recognize you as Republicans. So I'm not the one that's saying that they're not Republicans. The Montana GOP said that in their letter.
I mean, I'll call them rhinos right now. I think all nine of them are rhinos.
Wow. I call them the nasty nine, and I like to use the word transpartisan because they go whichever way the wind blows.
Right. So on this, they're trying to ask for a revote on the convention, which I don't think is going anywhere because none of the votes were within nine. Now, if the vote for party chairman, for example, had come down to two or three votes, then maybe the nasty nine's votes would have made a difference. But I don't recall any of the votes being within nine votes. And so even if you had a revote, it's not going to change anything.
Correct. It was nowhere near close nine. I mean, it was a clear majority, including all the central committees, most of the central committees and most of the legislators. I mean, it was clear.
So what was your take on some of the speeches that we all got Friday night? Or were you there Friday night, or were you just there Saturday for the convention?
I was not there Friday night. Okay. I was just there Saturday for the convention.
Well, what's your overall take on sort of convention results, new party leadership, that sort of stuff?
I'm excited. I think we've got a clear vision. I think we're going to bring people together, and we're going to move forward with, you know, looking at what the platform, the Republican platform is. And, you know, of course, Republicans, we all have our own ideas and we have our own views. And I don't think anybody wants 100% adherence to the platform, but I would think that there should be, you know, something, whether it's 70-80%, you should be in line with it to be considered a Republican. I mean, if you're 100% against everything on the platform, then why are you putting an R next to your name? And it's clear they put an R next to their name because if they put a D next to their name, they would not get elected.
You know, the other thing that I think is a problem is you get Democrats that vote in R primaries. How much of that's going on with this stuff?
There's a lot, and they've admitted that they do that. They want the more moderate person, and they ask their people to vote that way.
So the Montana Free Press article in here says that To the dismay of the Freedom Caucus, a coalition of Democrats and Republicans passed property tax cuts. So I'm gonna ask Senator Usher if that's true, if the Freedom Caucus was really just really dismayed that the Democrats and Republicans got property tax cuts across the finish line.
From the Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Baby.